What's good? Welcome back to Off the Dope and Out the Crazy House with Anthony Ray. You are now listening to Anthony Ray. What's good? What's good? What's good? I am excited to be back on the mic. To be back in your presence is what's up. And I know that the last segment I had may have came across to some people as negative. And I try to listen back through. And I like to see what I'm saying again. And I still agree with the way I felt, my sentiments, because the truth of the matter is that even though I know that this world is made up of, you know, positive and negative elements, I know that this world tends to drive people towards negativity. So, contrary to popular belief, I do believe that, and it might not even be popular, but I believe that in this realm, down here, certain forms of negativity can actually lead to accomplishment and the fulfillment of things that you desire. Matter of fact, I mean, some of the negative things here on earth are actually desirable. And you can agree or disagree. That always goes without saying, okay? Just like it always goes without saying that you're not going to agree with everything someone says. It's one of those things I hear again. I don't know why I have such a problem with cliches. It's just, that's something I really have to look over. They just, it hit my spirit and it don't sit right with me. Because I don't think it takes a lot of in-depth thought to just say what everybody's already said. Sometimes they're true. It's just, sometimes they're not well thought through, I believe. And I just want you all to know that I know that in the end, when we go past the point where we're seen, this is my true belief. I don't know for sure, in another part, that every battle is going to be over and there will be no more struggles and challenges, because that would be boring as hell. It wouldn't be an experience. But what I do know is, what I know is, that doing right is actually harder. And at times it can feel less fulfilling, you know, as far as immediate gratification is concerned. But as one guy put it tonight, I was listening to his YouTube channel, and as he put it, when you win, though, you win big. And I agree. It's so much different when you're trying to do what's right. See, when you first start off trying to do what's right, things immediately get hard. I know this, y'all. I know what you're thinking. Hey, these days, everybody's a guru. Because I've been thinking the same thing. But in some ways, we all are gurus when it comes to life, in a way, depending on our age and our experience levels. But we've been through this thing. Our life has had its lessons. But I'm going to tell you right now that I know this. When it comes to this falling down and getting up thing, I know what I'm talking about. When it comes to this falling away and coming back, or rising up out of it, this being blessed thing, this seemingly unexplainable, some people see it as an ability, but it's not really an ability as much as it is a blessing to be able to fall so low and then gain it all back, and even in some cases gain back more. It's just like my ex. She just stole my car, right? While I was in jail and in the mental institution, my ex actually stole my car. She stole my car from my mother's house because she found out that I was in jail. Right? And in her mind, she's thinking, this is a perfect time. He's down and out. Perfect time to swoop in and lay claim to something that you shouldn't be trying to lay claim to. But she did, thinking that her low time, because the thing she said to my family was actually that she was just going through a hard time at the time. Well, I'm in jail on my way to the mental institution in a city I don't even know. A town I don't even know. A place where I'm not cared for, or nobody cares to care, because they don't know who I am. They just know this dude was tripping, and we don't even care if he's mental or not. They didn't. They tased me and all kind of stuff because they just don't care in the system. As we all, or not all, but many of us know. But in her mind, her low was worse than my low, and what she desired was more important than what I desired. What I needed wasn't as important as what she needed. The selfishness. But let me tell you, man, I seriously thought about it. I'm like, man, I want to fight for this vehicle. And let me preface this in the middle here. I'm going to try to preface it in the middle by saying that I am not telling this story because I'm necessarily bitter anymore. I mean, at one point I really was. And at certain points, I still get this feeling inside, this like, and this goes out to all the people that had little stuff to say and do. And in my mind, I still get these little feelings like, man, fuck them. I really feel that like that sometimes. And even think in my mind, like, if I was like them, like, it'd be bad. Like, you want to get vindictive. But then I really think about it, and I really just don't want to go back to what I was. It took too Man, it took too long to get to a place where it doesn't hurt anymore to go back into the fray with these people. I'm starting to truly, truly separate myself. And so, the reason I'm telling this story is because it's true. I need to get it off my chest, and I don't want it to ruminate inside of me and rot me from the inside out. And why not use my platform to vindicate myself? Because truth be told, these people that go around, what they do is they try to destroy you verbally. Take your character and flip it. Everything they've done, they try to say you've done. I'm gonna tell you, man. Thought about going through all of the processes needed to get my car back. I still do. But number one, I don't trust the police. And this was 2 years ago. Now, the only reason I'm thinking like, man, if I call them and say, hey, report my car stolen, be like, that was 2 years ago. What are you doing? Well, I was in the hospital and in jail, so now here you go with a whole nother set of problems. What were you, they'll start asking stuff that has nothing to do with nothing. You know, when you're dealing with them, it's like, you know, the young lady just called the police because she was getting jumped and they killed her. Sometimes it's like that, you know. So people, you know, think that they're going to call the police and the police going to come help them. But the police going to get there and say, hey, can I get your... Okay, well, I know you called, but let me see your ID. What the... You know what I mean? And so these are some of the things that hindered me from like, nah, I don't want to go through all that. You know... And what really made me think about it was that I said, man, you know what's crazy? Because, and which I'm going to try to stop saying that, it's really a bad habit. I didn't realize how much I said it until I listened back to some of these segments. But I don't think people understand that there is a correlation between the way you handle justice and the way you receive grace. And what does he mean by that? Well, I mean that, let's say for instance, let's go back to the old days or something, right? Where there was an executioner, right? So whoever took the job as the executioner, he doled out justice and punishment. So I should say there's a correlation between justice and punishment and the way you receive grace. So this person, the executioner, the punisher, whoever he might be, it was their job to mete out the justice, the punishment. But it was the full extent of punishment. It was the farthest you could go on earth. Well, actually, torture would be worse. But so even for those guys, the people that tortured people, which is one step past, you know, capital punishment or killing someone for what they've done, execution, I believe it's a step further. It's worse. These people, imagine what happens when they do wrong. Let's say one of the executioners or the torturers is found guilty of a crime that is punishable. It might not even be as punishable by death or torture yet, but let's just say they're found guilty of anything. Does the community or the people involved ever want to show them grace or mercy? No. Because they've lived their life on the side of justice and punishment. So when it comes to mercy and punishment, mercy and grace, no one thinks they deserve it, or no one feels sensitive to what they've gone through. There's less remorse, there's less sentiment for that side of that person, or for their situation, because of the way that they've lived their life. It's the same way in these days as a judge. A judge spends their life doling out punishments and justice. But if that judge is found doing anything, they get stripped of all their honor. And all of that stuff goes away. They're expected. There's no grace. If they're caught with a DUI, DWI, any of that stuff, they lose all of that. There's less grace. There's less grace there. Now, the only place I'll say that would differ is with police for some reason. I don't know why we feel that way when it comes to law enforcement. See, a law enforcement spends their whole life doling out punishments or sending people to punishments, and these days they're actually giving punishments out. So they're giving the death penalty on the streets, and it's been I don't know why I said these days. They've been doing this for the longest, man. And so the grace that they want to receive and the mercy that they want to receive, they can't continue to expect that to happen. Even them. So the reason why I didn't do what I did is because I know that later on I'm going to need grace and mercy. For my mistakes. But what I will not do as well is I don't want to walk back into those situations. Actually had to separate myself from a very good friend of mine. Or a longtime friend of mine. And I'll tell you this. It's not easy to try to do what's right. Like I said, it's something that you have to decide. And when you do, you can't go, hey, I'm doing what's right. Where's the payoff? See, because we're, as those of us who were addicted to things and those of us who are addicted now, we either were or are accustomed to seeing the results of what we wanted to happen within either immediately or within 10, 15 minutes or 5 to 10 minutes. The instant gratification is important. I remember when I was getting back in the day, yeah, right. It wasn't even that long ago. But I remember just not having the patience inside, the peace at times. When you're driving on your way to go get what you need or what you want, what your body desires, you want that feeling when you finally get that stuff in your system. you know that feeling that's just anxious and it almost hurts. It actually kind of hurts. It's painful. It's not like a ouch, but it's like, ugh. It's like being twisted inside. And nobody will untwist it. Only thing that can untwist it is that pill or, you know, that green or that drink or that powder or whatever it might be. That shard, whatever it might be. It's the only thing you feel like can untwist it. That's the feeling I don't want no more. I think that's one of the main things I'm avoiding. So many people will say to me, I was out at work and I was telling the guy, he was in his workstation, but we got to talking and he asked me, I told him, well, you know, I hadn't smoked a cigarette or, you know, in 2 years. And he said, man, how did you do it? People always ask this question. How did you do it? How are you doing it? And it's one of those questions that you get asked, or back in the day I would ask someone, and now it's one of those questions that when you hear it, you immediately know that this person's not gonna probably quit. It's just like, I know that now when people are saying stuff like if I was to ask someone, I think I've said this in another segment, you know, people ask, you know, how do you get the energy to work out every day? Like when people ask these questions, especially in this day and age of so much information, where information is accessible at your fingertips 24/7. If you're asking someone that, I don't necessarily believe it to be a sincere question. And I don't know if it's automatically meant like that was the intention of that person was to be insincere. That's not what I mean. What I mean is that I think that the intent of that person is to starve themselves through paralysis of analysis. It's purposeful. They're over-researching something that they know they need to jump into. I'm trying to cut off those friends or make changes to my life. It's because, number one, I know where it leads. Nowhere. It's the only road you know that can lead you to nowhere but straight to death at the same time. It's like one of those roads, you know what I'm saying? Whatever one of those roads is, you know, it's like it leads nowhere but straight to death. It leads nowhere but it leads straight to poverty. It leads nowhere but it leads straight to a lack of success, whatever success means to you. It leads nowhere but it leads straight and directly to a life of feeling unloved. It leads to the feeling of being undeserved. It leads to the feeling of feeling lost. But it leads you nowhere. But it leads you directly to the worst you could be in the quickest amount of time you can get there. That's what drives me for the most part. knowing those things, having experienced them enough times to know that it's legit too. That's a legit thing. It's not something people just say, and it's not one of those cliche things, right? This is a legit thing. This is legit. You walk this road, this is where you going, and this is how you gonna feel when you get there. Knowing that, and knowing that it is a dark, dark place. See, we don't all, but it's so much easier to hear the bright side, to hear the hope, which I want you to feel. I want you to be motivated. But you need to know for sure, like, you need to hear it. Instead of, you can do it, man, you got it all the time. You know, yes, you can do it. But above it all, you need to do this, man. You need this. Because what if the world need you? And you think that the world don't need someone out here to say something good to someone? You think the world don't never ever, the world is never ever the world never loses when it gains a survivor. The world does not lose when it gains a positive role model in this world. It gains everything when that happens. The one thing the world don't need another one of is another bad example. Another destroyed soul. We already got, you know, people talk about zombies and all that. Like, we got people around here that roll aimlessly through life already, who don't even know 100% why they're doing what they're doing. They just rolling around from one place to another, destroying and destructing. So knowing that is why. These things I keep in mind. Like, I see the world this way now. That's what change. It's like, I also think about the physical things that I went through when I was getting. These are, by the way, I'm just telling you the way I stayed. This is how I've changed. Because my mind is not the same. So, and I also have memories now that I can tap into, like I told you before. So now I think, like, I don't think about getting high. And when I think about getting high, I don't think about the good times the same way. Or not as often. Yeah, sometimes I'm like, man, the sex was amazing at that point. Or, you know, I thought I was having fun at this point. Or I felt so free by not, you know, caring whether or not I had a job and all that kind of stuff. Those things run through my mind. But not anywhere near as often as I think, man, I looked like shit. Man, I felt like shit. Man, I was lonely. Man, I couldn't pick myself up. Man, I had people trying to use me. Man, the people in that situation, in that world, in that environment, ain't they some snakes? Man, I didn't like how I looked at myself. This is what another way that I keep myself from that situation. I remember the pain and how much I didn't want to be there at the time. See, it's the rose-colored glasses that get us all messed up. We think we're missing out on something. Only thing you're missing out on when you stop doing drugs is all of these things I'm telling you. You're missing out on some pain, man. You're missing out on some destruction. So, how else? I told you I replace it. I replace something else there. I change my lifestyle. So I'll change. Right now I'm trying to change the people I'm around. The people that I feel are negatively affect my mood. People that have constantly, I call them habitual line steppers. As the comedian Charlie Murphy said, habitual line steppers is actually what he called them, but I borrowed it from him. And these people that habitually line step, I have to remove them. I was at Texas Roadhouse tonight, which is one of the replacements I've used for the negativity, because I don't drink no more and I don't go to clubs. I haven't been to a club in a long time. And the bar, I haven't been to in a long time either. Not just like a regular bar. And so I go out by myself and do stuff, you know, and I experience the world. I go see what this is like and what that is like and explore. And I do it all drug free. I'm retraining myself that life can be enjoyable without getting high. It's necessary to do that. But I'm still in avoidance of being, but you know, I don't even know want to call it an avoidance. It's just that I don't see the joy in going to the club or the bar right now. Like, my whole point in going there was to get slithered. I knew I wanted to go in there and get messed up. Then I wanted to meet somebody who could get messed up with me later, or someone who knew where to get some stuff. That was the point of going to the bar. It's not like that no more. Now I go to the bar to actually get out of the house. I go to the bar to be around a different environment and atmosphere. I go out to experience the taste, the smell, the sights, the sounds, the colors. That's what I'm out there for. When I was out there back in the day, I wasn't really experiencing that stuff. I was just trying to get laid, or trying to get paid, or trying to, you know, trying to find it. And really didn't even want to be out that long back in the day, because just, it wasn't as enjoyable. You know, I think about those times. Once again, not through the rose-colored glasses. I think, man, when I used to be at the bar, I used to be drunk and really not enjoying myself. I'm just drunk. You know, or just whatever. Like, I'm wanting to leave, really. I get home, I lay down in the bed, and my head is spinning. Like, I'm not even having a good sleep after you leave. But after you getting all drunk and wasted, like, none of that was, it wasn't even really enjoyable. It just had the feeling of being enjoyable. I realize all that now. And at one point, I guess I enjoyed the chaos of the lifestyle. But now I'm not on the side of chaos. I don't think I ever really was on the side of chaos. I just allowed it in because it gave me stimulation. The people that were in my life at the time were very, very chaotic. They would cause drama. They would be dramatic. I ended up being that way, which took me out of my own energy. Knowing that what I really wanted most when I was back in the day, even then, was I wanted to get high and sit in the house and be at peace. Try to find peace. I was trying to find a peace of mind. And I wanted to express myself. So my getting high, I believe, was actually that. There was a few things that I was trying to find. So I know I was trying to find peace. I was trying to find a way to express myself. And I wanted to have intimacy. And I wanted to express myself sexually. So these things are what came out whenever I was doing drugs. These are the things that came spewing forth whenever I would get high. So I do my little meth, and while I'm doing the meth, I got a beat playing. Or I'm trying to make a beat. I start writing, and that go on for days. But as I'm writing, what I'm doing is that I'm expressing all of my pain. And I'm trying to release this pain. Sometimes I would just end up letting it go after a while when I realized I was ruminating on the pain. And I would start listening to tarot card readings. Their voices were soothing. And they were female voices, which I believe actually gave me some sense of companionship. Because sometimes you just want to hear. It's just good to be around the opposite sex sometimes, you know, to hear their voice. Especially if you haven't, if that's not what you're enjoying at the time. So if you're lonely. Every time I've gotten into doing drugs heavily, to me, it didn't lead to deeper relationships, and it didn't expand the amount of girls I could mess with. It actually decreased my value in the so-called sexual marketplace. And so I always end up feeling more lonely. Now, if you got enough of it and all that, you know, there's girls that'll come hang with you, but they're not going, you know, they're not the kind you know, it's not what you think. Especially when you're dealing with what I was dealing with, the meth, it's a whole nother level of foolishness. It's outlandish. The things that I went through with the people that I was around were outlandish. I'm talking about gaslighting to the 100th degree. People just doing foolish stuff for no reason, other than just foolishness, man. So these are the things I think about, and I as I'm doing right now, I've always been a person that has psychoanalyzed myself. My own counselor. And I've always cared about what was going through my mind. So I know that during those times, the drug was my way of trying to trick myself into relaxing enough to do the things I wanted to do. You know, I think that there's a part of everyone that uses drugs in order to find the bravery to do or be who they want to be. when you don't even need the drug, you could just do it. And so this is another way I figured it out. Like, number one, the drug never got me there. It never took me to the place that I was. The songs I was trying to write weren't always, they were rarely coming out. I was trying to release the pain, but I was ruminating on it. I wanted to have sexual relations and explore that with a partner, but I couldn't get a partner because my value was decreasing. And for some of y'all, what's so crazy is that, here we go again, what's so messed up is that it'll lead to actually impotence all the way. So people doing powder and, you know, doing, you know, different drugs and end up not being even able to use their thing. Trying to get to the sexual part of it. Trying to get to sexual enjoyment. When there's probably a higher state of sexual enjoyment. Number one, if you're finding someone doing it with someone that matters, because something about that, the intimacy, but the real actual intimacy is the fact that the person that you're doing it with, there's an emotional tie there. Now don't mind, now don't trip me. I'm not just saying that it's all a lovey dovey da 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 da. You can still have good sex with people that you're not as in love with, as long as there's a high level of attraction. But what I'm saying is, I believe that it's just a you're trying to use a shortcut to something that could be a way more a significant leap, or I don't know if that's the right word I'm looking for, but I think that, like I said, it's just a band-aid on an open wound, a gashing wound, a gaping wound. So you're trying to figure out, how do I do this or do that? And the drugs don't do what you think they're gonna do. For the most part, it actually takes away. And so I remember that. I also look at the people who have done it, and I realize that drugging takes you farther to the dark side. It just pulls you. It just pulls you. It pushes you down. So for me, it's a simple matter of just remembering and deciding not to even start the whole process over again. I don't want to restart the process. It's a longer process. See, as I was getting into, once you've already realized that going to the dark side is easy. I'm telling you, it's easy. It's as simple as saying yes. Bet. It's easy. It's easy. Just sign right here, buddy. You know they say, sign your soul away, right? Just sign right here. It's no big deal. I got you. Have all this stuff. You good, man. Just sign right here. Or you go to the loan place and they... Oh, no problem. We'll give you all this money. This. But it's no problem. All you got to do is sign right here. Don't worry about all this stuff up here. Don't worry about the pages back there. We're going to skim right past that. I'm going to give you a brief overview of each of these 10 pages. You know, you can read them if you want, but you don't waste your time, because all you really got to do is just sign right here. It's usually quick. It's quick. So going to the dark side, it's not hard. It's almost like giving up. You release your need to stop. You release your strength. You release your, release all that stuff, man. Just do this right here, man. See, doing right is harder because it's like the whole earth fights you. I'm telling you, when you're trying to go from the good, from the bad to the good, the whole earth seems to try to stop you. It makes things harder on you. I'm telling you. Just for a while, it seems so hard. And maybe it's because you're so far at the bottom, you can actually feel you can feel the climb, the incline. You can feel the actual climb. Maybe that's what it is. But nonetheless, it's hard at first. It's not going to be easy when you say, I'm done, man. But the reward is so much greater. See, it's the opposite. What was the reward for going to the dark side? What have you gained? Tell the truth. What have you gained? You know what it's like to move around and be. You know what it feels like to be lost? Like, you've experienced some things, yeah. I think there was some interesting moments in there. You get a chance to see a part of the world no one else has ever seen. That's true. And now I would say that there's a part of your character, who you are as a person, that is a little more vibrant, being that you're from a different cloth and you've experienced different areas and sections and parts of life that the normal individual is not going to even experience. So you got flavor. I'll give you that. You got texture. That's the pro. But what have you gained as far as things that are helping you to expand who you are? Or are you stuck in the same rotation? And what do you have to lose by doing right? I think I always thought that what I was going to lose was pleasure. And even right now, honestly, like, I do still desire more pleasure. I don't think people want to have less pleasure in life ever, unless you're like some, you know, monkish type of person. If you want to be a monk or something towards that nature, you might give up on the pleasure of life or control the amount of pleasure you receive, which ain't bad either. I'm trying to actually learn how to do that as well. I think that actually is a part of it. But I know that I'm not becoming worse for it. Before I get off of here, I had wanted to say something about someone I knew that passed away just recently, within the last couple of weeks. Someone that when I was young, I knew this person. And even back then, we were doing drugs. That's where it started. And a lot of people heard about DMX and all that, and I didn't know DMX, so but I did listen to him. He's still in my rotation. He still got a place in my playlist to this day. It's just that I wanted to say that I guess the guy that died, the guy I knew, he was always good people. Good people are everywhere too. There's good people that are doing drugs, yeah. But the world ends up losing that good person if they're doing drugs. If you're a good person out there, if you ain't saying good is just a generalized term. If you know that you're not an evil motherfucker, if you know that you're not comfortable in the darkness, if you're not comfortable going down in life, you want brighter days. Then it's something you got to reach for. It's going to take discipline. It's going to take courage. It's going to take change. It's going to take honesty. It's going to take, at first, it's going to take a struggle. But you built for it. You know about the struggle. You've been around liars. You know how frustrating that is. Cheaters. Backstabbers. Haters. You've been around all this. Is that where you're most comfortable? Is that who you want to become? Because that's all that being around them and learning how to survive around them just makes you more like them. You in order to survive it, you gotta, you know, kind of become it in a way, or find out a way to blend in a little bit better, is a better way of putting it. Is that what you want? You know what you're dealing with. You built for this. You know what it's like. You can pull other people out. When you get good, nobody wants to listen to the person who doesn't know what it's like. Or very few people want to listen to that. People tend to want to listen to someone who they believe and who they knows what's up. It's like, okay, he gets it. Like, he knows, like he knows the way. She knows the way. Well, that's you. You know the way. You know how to get to the darkness, meaning you should know how to get out of it. As I was telling one of my friends, I was just like, bro, if you've fallen so many times, you know the feeling of falling. He said, well, that's just easy to say. It's just harder to do. But I wanted to tell him, like, no, it's not. Do the opposite. Don't do what you keep doing. Every time you fail, what were you doing? How did you start falling? Why are you falling? You know, what did you trip over? Where was it? And you adjust. You adjust where you walking. Adjust how you're handling your business. And then you begin to struggle to get up, because even when you fall, right? If you watch people when they fall, most time people don't just hop back up. You know, they don't just like whoop, fall and just jump up. Like when they fall, they're like, oh, boom, they fall. And then they like, they get their bearings. They collect themselves and they struggle to get up a little bit. And then they stand up and kind of look around like, okay, this is where I'm at now. Like, and that's kind of what it's like. You just, it's how it kind of feels. I struggle to get my bearings. I fail. Struggle to get my bearings. I slowly struggle to get up. I stand up and I'm like, okay. All right. Hey, all right. Now I see where I'm at. Okay, my leg's still good. I'm good. Okay. You know. But now I don't want to fall again. It took many times. My head was hard. But I'm getting it. And you can too. The reason why I say this is, that's funny too, because one of the songs by DMX was that I'm slipping, I'm falling, can't get up. Slipping, falling, can't get up. Hey yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I gots to get up. You see that part? Get me back up on my feet so I can tear some shit up. This ain't about revenge. See, my homeboy was telling me that. He said, man, I know you want revenge. I was like, nah, I don't think. He was like, man, you do. I'm like, oh, maybe I'll think about it. I told him, I said, I think about it. But because I just hate to jump to the, you know, I wanted to think it through. But I knew in my heart, nah, because what I say now is no, I don't. I don't want revenge. It's not the revenge I want. That's why I didn't go try to, you know, I've been blessed with another car. You know, even if this one's, if things didn't go the way I wanted it, like, and it's a better car than what she took. You know? And I'm not gonna let her run over. It's not, that's not the point is. The point is, like, I didn't want to, I'm just tired of it all. Like, it's, you have to get up. Like, this is not a question of you are slipping, falling, you got to get up. It's not about the revenge. It's about getting back up and tearing some shit up. It's about, like I was telling him, no, it's more, this is exactly what it's not about revenge. It's about getting back to business. You had a sabbatical from life for a little while. That's cool, okay? You went into an alternate state. That's cool. Now come on back. Let's get back to business, man. Let's get back to work. You know? You might have went on an extended break from life. Some escapism. Come on back, man. Let's get back in here, man. Let's get to work, man. Don't remember, we over here building a whole house. We over here building a whole industry. We over here building stuff. Let's get back to building, man. You know, we played around over there, man. We messed with them girls, man. We traveled a little bit. We had some sex, or we destroyed some stuff. We did all this stuff. But bro, I know people did you wrong too during that time. I know that they did, but to me, I'm telling you, it's no longer about revenge. At one point it really was. I hated it. My heart began to be filled with things that I know it shouldn't have been filled with. Sometimes it still re-arises, but it's not about that. It's about getting back to business. The business of life. It's back to being a light. So I just want to wish everybody out there peace and paper.